Okay, in honor of our upcoming Yom Kippur and our upcoming coincidence of Yom Kippur and Shabbos, I'd like to say a few more words about what we spoke about on Sunday before we ran out of time, and to relate that to the specific nature of this coming Yom Kippur. On Sunday, we talked about issues of Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur, how they relate to each other, and issues of Anus, a person who puts himself in a position where he's unable to fast, and the related concerns. And in that context, we talked also about the imperative to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, that there is a mitzvah, which is likely a mitzvah d'oraisa. It sounds like it's an actual drasha from the pasuk to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And we spoke about on Sunday a little bit about how you find the different perspectives in the Rishonim, or Ben Yonah, for example, in Shari Tshuva, the Mall, the Ritvar, Rosh Hashanah, Rashi, in a few places, where you find what amounts to at least two opinions as why it is that we should eat on Erev Yom Kippur. There are many more, especially if you look in the later literature, you'll find some very creative, mystically oriented, hashgafically oriented reasons. But certainly in the Rishonim, at least, you find at least two. One, that it's to prepare for the Tainis, that we should be ready, and that, like we mentioned a minute ago, we shouldn't be in a position of Anus, we shouldn't be in a position where we're not healthy enough to fast because we've compromised our readiness so greatly by not preparing in advance. Rather, we should eat so that we'll be able to make it through a day of fasting if we don't have other health complications. And maybe that's the idea. So one school of thought is that it's there to help us with the fast. Whether you say it's there so that we shouldn't have to compromise the fast, whether you say it's there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have Rachmanis on us, so we shouldn't suffer too much during the fast. There are different versions, and we mentioned there's even one version that goes in the opposite direction. The Torah Tanimah quotes the idea that we want the fast to be harder, which fits with the language of the Gemara, that kol ochel v'shosa v'tisha mala b'kosav kiel v'zana tisha v'asiri, then you get credit if you fast 2 days, that maybe the idea is that we want you to have a harder time going from feast to fast, and therefore that's the notion. But that's a less popular version. More commonly you find that it's there to either make the fast easier or make the fast possible in the first place, some type of preparation along those lines. And the second major school of thought that you find in the Rishonim is that Yom Kippur really is a day of Simcha, like we spoke about a week ago, about Rosh Hashanah, that the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as a match set, maybe they are both, on the one hand, days of Eima and Yira, but on the other hand, days of Simcha as well, and therefore it's important that we have a Suda in recognition of that. So the Erev Yom Kippur eating is the Suda pushed ahead so that we can have some recognition of the Simchas Yontif. So on Sunday we spoke about some of the differences that it might make, what kind of applications might be affected. There are a few others. For example, the question of what do you have to eat? Do you have to eat a Suda? Do you have to eat bread? Do you have to eat a full shear like that you would count for violating Yom Kippur? Is there an Indian to eat all day? The post can talk about all of these things, trying to figure out how exactly it correlates. The question that is also discussed, it's a suffix in the Magen Avraham. The Vilna Gaon assumes that the obligation is only during the daytime, it's not at night. So is that really the case? The Chasam Sofer and others thought it was somehow connected to the reason of the mitzvah of eating. But you find the different applications of that. Before you could say either way, you could say that if it's about preparing for the fast, well, maybe it's only the immediate hours before the fast that's really going to have an impact. But the night before, ready, maybe not. Although it's a little bit of a vague distinction. While if you want to say that it's a suda in honor of the fast, so again, you could also say maybe that that should be as close to the fast as possible. But again, that's also somewhat of a arbitrary cutoff point. So there are those who assume that the question whether the nighttime is connected is totally on this issue, but it's a little bit of a vague relationship. But no matter how you slice it, I guess, pun intended, but no matter how you address this issue, we find strong elements here emphasizing that this mitzvah tells us something about the fast of Yom Kippur. That the fast of Yom Kippur is not that we're meant to suffer. at least according to most of the understandings that we've seen so far. And that maybe that's the whole idea, that we want to eat on Erev Yom Kippur to show that we're not all about the suffering. If we're all about the suffering, we would not try to make things easier. And that maybe that's the message, and certainly if you say that it's there to be a Suda Simcha, so all the more so it shows that Yom Kippur is really a happy day. But that's a common element between really both of these explanations, or most versions of both of these explanations, that it's there to emphasize Yom Kippur really is a happy day, really is a day, as much as we can associate happiness with the day of not eating, but still, that is the case. It's a day of happiness, so we don't want to feel miserable on the day. We want to be satiated from our pre-Yom Kippur repast. And we also want to make a statement that there are simchas associated with this day. So, for example, Rav Moshe Sternbach, in his essays in the Moed and Muzmanim, so he talks about the question that we find many parallels between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. But you don't find that there's a chiyuv to eat specifically before Tisha B'Av. You don't find that manifesting itself as a mitzvah. So why not? So you can probably give you many reasons based on what we've seen in this topic. But one overall kind of reason is that Yom Kippur, we want to make the point that it's not a sad day. And Tisha B'Av, it is a sad day. So there is this fundamental difference as far as the mood of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. And therefore, that difference is represented really through this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So with that in mind, let's consider for a moment one of the major issues that's discussed concerning this year's Yom Kippur, Shechalios B'Shabbos. So as we know, it occasionally happens that somebody has to eat on Yom Kippur. The whole Shaila in general, we know that if a person is sick and is unable to fast, is obligated to eat on Yom Kippur. That's a very severe obligation, which people don't always take seriously enough. Mishnah talks about it at length. So always debate about the pregnant women, about the pregnant women who are going through a standard pregnancy. Is that to make a difference in that? A lot of articles floating around this week about new studies that say even more tricky for a pregnant woman to fast. So it's always a topic of contention. But we know that there clearly are people who find themselves in a position where they have to eat on Yom Kippur. So what would happen if a person has to eat on Yom Kippur? A person has to eat on Tisha B'Av. So there's not much to talk about, so they eat. But a person has to eat on Yom Kippur. So what about the fact that Yom Kippur is fundamentally different than Tisha B'Av? It's a yontif. So, should we recite Kiddush? Should we say Yalav Yavo? How do you relate to a meal that's going to take place on Yom Kippur for somebody who needs to? I tell a story about the Avnei Nezer when he was a child. He gets younger with every retelling of the story. So, let's say he was 2 months old in the story. So, being an infant, so he was eating on Yom Kippur. So, his father said to him, Avnei, tell me, you're eating. Why don't you, he's already had his high aspirations for him. So he says, tell me, why don't you make Kiddush? It's a yontif, right? So if it's a yontif, so you should make Kiddush if you're going to eat on yontif. So the Avnezer responded, what are you talking about? First of all, I can't speak yet. Second of all, let's say he was older, so he said, what are you talking about, I should make Kiddush? What's the whole point of making Kiddush? I'm a katan, right? I'm 2 months old. So a katan doesn't have to make Kiddush in the HaTorah. A katan would only make Kiddush because of chinuch, because he wants to practice so that he's ready to do mitzvahs when he grows up. So said the Avnezer, when I grow up, I don't plan on eating on Yom Kippur. So why should I make Kiddush now to practice for what I'll do when I grow up? When I grow up, it's not going to be relevant. So that's assuming you're a katan. Okay, so children always eat on Yom Kippur, at least below a certain age. So fine, we clearly always are exposed to that issue, and we see that they're not necessarily making Kiddush on Yom Kippur. But what about an adult who's eating because they're sick? So should such a person make Kiddush, and should he say Yalav Yavo? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you had a chance to see, it was on this morning's Marmakomos, that the Shulchan Aruch says you do mention Yom Kippur in benching, because it is a yontif. But what about more than that? So if you look at the Magen Avraham, we had a chance in the Magen Avraham. What does the Magen Avraham say? The Magen Avraham says, and you should have Lecha Mishnah as well, theoretically. But what about Kiddush? No Kiddush, says the Magen Avraham. You don't make Kiddush on Yom Kippur. That was never a concept in which Kiddush was set up. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a footnote to that. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in his comments to Shulchan Aruch, says he doesn't necessarily disagree, but he thinks that an important distinction should be pointed out. That yes, it's true that on Stam Yom Kippur, so there was never a concept of Kiddush. He works off the assumption there that Kiddush for Yom Kippur is Drabanan. So we know that Kiddush on Shabbos, we assume is a din in HaTorah, derived from the Pasuk Zachar Hashem HaShabbos Tekacho, although there's a major machlokus as to what that means about Kiddush Daraisa. So our Kiddush nowadays is Kiddush HaKos, B'makom Suda, L'Bracha, so there's all of that in that Torah, probably not. One contemporary sefer noted at least 15 different views in the Pasukim as to what is Min HaTorah in Kiddush. But something of Kiddush is Min HaTorah on Shabbos. But if Yontif Kiddush is with Rabbanan, so says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, okay, I can hear it. So Chazal never made an institution of Kiddush for Yom Kippur. It wasn't Shabbat. But, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it also happens to be Shabbos, like this year. So then, you do have to make Kiddush because you have Shabbos. Although, you could talk about, so how exactly is Kiddush made? Maybe Kiddush Min HaTorah, you could be Yotze with Davin, maybe Davin would be enough. You have to figure that part out. But at least theoretically, there is a chiv of Kiddush this Yom Kippur because it's also Shabbos. Hi.
So there's an entire discussion about eating meal on Yom Kippur. If you need to, this is assuming that you would be eating meal. So do we say that the first thing you do if you need to eat on a quantitatively how much you would eat, but do we say that, let's say for you, well, you should just eat a whole meal as usual, like a typical meal? I mean, usually say for a regular person who is having some sort of problem, they have a little bit, I have a table carcass, and then you wait it out, and then if you need more, you have later, but so how do we balance it also on Shabbos, you have more of a table carcass?
Yeah, so it's a fascinating question. So post Shabbos, halacha maisa, we wouldn't say more than a normal Yom Kippur. And I want to say a little bit more about that time for a minute. We'll come back to some of the complexities of the point that you're bringing up. But halacha maisa, we probably assume that it's like a normal Yom Kippur, that a cholo eats what he has to, and preferably a cholo will eat less than a shear at a time. A shear meaning not even a kezias, it's more than a kezias, because Yom Kippur the shear is larger, so we call it kosevis. So we eat a kosevis or less than a kosevis, in the time of Kedei Achilas Pras, which is, let's say, about 9 minutes or some shear, say even less than that, could be even 2 or 3 minutes, but that's what we normally advocate if the person is able to be sustained with that pace. If the doctor says no, they have to have more, so then he has to have more. Reb Chaim Brisker famously had a shita that he doesn't say to eat like this. He says, if you're a chol and you have to eat on Yom Kippur, you should eat straight, you should eat normally. And that's where he's got his famous quote, where he says he's not being makel, he's being machmir. He's not makel on Hilchos Yom Kippur. He's machmir on pikuach nefesh. So they asked him, but it does say in Shulchan Aruch this whole concept of shirim. It says in Rishonim. It's not a new idea. So he says that's talking about somebody who's not yet a chola, but is worried he's going to become a chola. He's in a situation where he's likely to become a chola. So then that's what we would advocate for somebody who is already in the state of a cholus, so then he should eat straight. So that's what we normally advise one way or another as far as a normal Yom Kippur. The Pashas would be true on Shabbos as well. You're right that maybe Shabbos should impose a little bit more of the chiyuv. So that's something, if we have time, we'll come back to in a few minutes. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he thinks that there should be a concept of Kiddush if it's Shabbos, okay? Normally Yom Kippur, fine, no Kiddush. But Yom Kippur Shechalios b'Shabbos, the Shabbos part should come and impose a chiyuv Kiddush. So, right, so we'll say that a normal Shabbos Yom Kippur, rather, but a person is not eating, okay, so what can you do? We're not going to make you eat in order to make Kiddush. And it could be that the tefillah is enough to be able to say Kiddush Min HaTorah, but if you are eating, so then maybe that should bring a chiyuv of kiddush. So that's not what we find in practice, though. That same simas haposkim. The poskim have not said that this is what we should do halacha l'maisa. It's not what it says in Mishnah Berurah or any of the other contemporary poskim. Does not seem to be the practice. Doesn't seem to be what we do. So why not? So why is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's point not apparently represented in practical halacha? So the Oros HaMeach has a discussion about this. The Oros HaMeach is very widely quoted. And the Oros HaMeach, essentially, the main point of what he says is that when you have Shabbos and Yom Kippur that are coinciding, so then it's not that you have a Shabbos and Yom Kippur in the same day, but rather they become one entity. They essentially become Shabbipur. Right? Not Shabbos and Yom Kippur, but Shabbipur. Become one entity together. That essentially says the Kedusha of Yom Kippur comes to define the Kedusha of Shabbos as well, and therefore there is no institution of Kiddush. There's an institution of Kiddush on Shabbos, but there was never an institution of Kiddush on Shabbat. So that seems to be an influential position, and perhaps that's what's reflected in our practice of not reciting Kiddush, even if one is eating, on Yom Kippur that happens to also be Shabbos. So the question is, though, really, what does one have to do with the other? Because, okay, so it's one thing to say that the Kedusha of Yom Kippur is identified with the Kedusha of Shabbos, but still the Isser eating, the Tainus, is a separate component. So why should that come to affect the Chi of Kiddush? If you have a Chi of Kiddush for Shabbos, why should Shabbipur lose its Kiddush just because of the Tainus, which would seem to be a separate thing? You have the Issur Malacha of Yom Kippur, fine, so that becomes part of one Kedusha with Shabbos, and the Shabbos Shabbosim of Yom Kippur, that becomes one Kedusha. But why should that mean necessarily that the Issur eating, the Issur Achilu Shtia, comes and interferes with that? So there is a discussion about this in the beautiful Sefer, I think we mentioned a few weeks ago, Rabbi Yerucham Olshan Sefer on the Mo'adin, where he raises this question. And he notes, you could ask the same question on Tosfos. Tosfos in the Masechet Pesachim raises the question. So we have, the Gemara uses the phrase Ein Bein. If you learned the Masechet Megillah, it comes up over there in Pesachim also. The Gemara compares various things, the Mishnah compares various things, and says Ein Bein this to that, Ein Bein this to that, except for one thing. There's only one difference between these two things. So the Gemara says Ein Bein Yom Kippur L'Tisha B'Av. There's no difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, except that in one case Yom Kippur a safek is usur, and Tisha B'Av a safek is mutter. So asks Tosfos, what do you mean there's no difference? I could think of a pretty big difference that's not being mentioned. On Yom Kippur there's an issur melacha. On Tisha B'Av there's no issur melacha. Why does the Gemara not mention that? So the question is the surprising one, because these statements, the Ein Beins, they're always about comparing one specific detail that is shared between two elements, and then talking if there's any differences within that detail. Because otherwise you could find many differences. So what the Mishnah is talking about, the Gemara is talking about, is saying that when it comes to the fast of Yom Kippur, the fast of Tisha B'Av, there's no difference except for Safek. Why would you bring in Issur Melacha into the conversation? Unless there actually is some link between the Issur Melacha on Yom Kippur and the Issur Melacha on Tisha B'Av. So here, this is an idea that we find, for example, the Rambam, when the Rambam talks about the halachos of Yom Kippur. So he has a unique name for it, right? What is the Rambam's name for Yom Kippur in Mishneh Torah? They call it Hilchos Yom Kippur. What does he call it? Hilchos Shvisa Asarasot, the 10th day of Tishrei, and it's Shvisa. And so it's abstention from both eating and drinking and Melachah. Right? This term Shvisa, it's a term for this whole year. And Shemitah is a year of Shvisa. Shabbos is a day of Shvisa. This is this was pointed out. So we're talking this morning, somebody's talking about how this Yom Kippur is going to be the coincidence of all three Shvisas in one. Right? Are we talking about this? Right? So about how you have the Shvisa of Shemitah, the Shvisa of Shabbos, and the Shvisa of Yom Kippur all on the same day. So, to that extent, the notion of staying away from eating and drinking should be viewed, and this is a point that Putner discusses in his Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Olshan quotes from Shneur Kotler as its predecessor, as Rashi of Lakewood, talking about this idea as well, that apparently what you see is that when we fast on Yom Kippur, it's not that we're fasting in the sense like Tisha B'Av. It's not that it's a miserable day where we want to be unhappy, so we abstain from eating. But that the Shvisa from eating is of a kind with the Shvisa from Malach. That they're all a part of the same idea. That they shouldn't be taken as two completely distinct concepts. And that to that extent, they share a purpose that they're both about separating from gashmius. It's not about suffering. It's not about being uncomfortable. But it's a day of focus and a focus on ruchnius. And that means separating out from gashmius, whether it's the gashmius of attending to your needs, like you have through malacha, or it's the gashmius of eating and drinking. In any event, in all senses, so we're told to abstain, that's what the Shvisa of Yom Kippur is about. He discusses there of Olshan, it's interesting, this you have to figure out a little bit, he discusses the idea that maybe the fasting is therefore not as a tool of tshuva so much. We spoke about it on Sunday as a tool of tshuva. We're suggesting maybe it's not so much a tool of tshuva, but it's a tool of being angelic, which is an idea that we see in many places. And angelic, because Yom Kippur is also a day of Kabbalah Satorah. So therefore, the Kabbalah Satorah component of Yom Kippur is one that we prepare for by being separated from all gashmius. So parenthetically, you have to ask about that a little bit, because you have to figure out how that idea works with the Gemara. If the Gemara says that when it comes to Shavuos, so Shavuos is a day of Kabbalah Satorah, and the Gemara says that we have a machlokus in general about Yontif, where the Yontif should be Kulo Lachem, or Kulo Lashem, or Chatzid Lachem, or Chatzid Lashem, should be a day that is devoted to Ruchnius purely, Kulo Lashem, or is it a day that should be devoted to Gashmius, Kulo Lachem, or is it both? So the Gemara has a line there that Hakol Modin Debat Seres Binyanami Lachem, that everyone agrees that when it comes to Shavuos, Shavuos for sure has to have some physical component to it. My taima, Yom Shenitna BaTorah, because since the day that we got the Torah, so therefore it has to have Gashmius component. For those who are in Keren B'Yavna, I guess, even if you did go to KBY, so you were there after the time of Rav Goldach, but therefore I'm the only one who was here, but was there with Rav Goldach.
He's still there.
That's true. But name's on the building. But and his hashpa is there. So he's one of his favorite topics was to talk about how Torah is about lifting up the gashmius and giving it its kedusha. So it's, he and many others understood that that's what the Gemara means. That the day that we receive the Torah has to be a day where there is gashmius, because combining the gashmius and the ruchnius, that's the whole point of the Torah. So you have to figure out how that idea is reconcilable with this idea that all the Yom Kippur is a day of receiving the Torah, therefore we separate from all gashmius. Seems to be a little bit at odds. I mean, it could be that there's what to distinguish between the Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos the first time and the Kabbalah Satorah the second time of Yom Kippur. That's an interesting topic for consideration. So I'll just give you that as a marmakum to think about. But in any event, whether that point is correct or not, but it seems to be the case that the fasting on Yom Kippur is not about torturing yourself, it's about separating from these distractions, and therefore the Shvisa Mimalacha and the Shvisa from Achila and Shvia are all of one piece together. Alright?
I was just going to say, if we're talking, if we're talking about spiritualizing the Gashmis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe focusing on just the spirituality of the Gashmis in a Matan Torah context is also important. Meaning, we can't just have Gashmis. Spiritualize them, so.
But then why not both? The Shavuos, you have both. Now, you could say that this goes back to our original topic that maybe Yom Kippur, and some do say like this, that maybe Yom Kippur is really the 9th and the 10th. The 9th is the eating day, and the 10th is the fasting day, and like what Gemara says, that if you do the eating part, then you get credit for both days. So maybe there's what to talk about. There are those who say that Purim and Yom Kippur are two halves of the same coin, Yom Kippur. There's a lot of hashkafic exploration one could do as far as figuring out exactly how that works. But what does emerge, I think either way, is that the fasting on Yom Kippur is together with the Shvi'is and Megillah. So that is revulsion. He thinks that that's what Tosfos therefore is getting at, and that's what the Or Sameach is getting at. That Tosfos says, since the Shvi'is of Melacha on Yom Kippur is together with the Shvi'is from eating, so therefore the Gemara should have said that too. And the Gemara says there's no difference between the fast of Yom Kippur and the fast of Tisha B'Av, except for the Safek. So Tosfos will say, I know that they're talking about fast, but still, we should say that what about the Nisa Malacha, which is a function of the fast also. That they're all together, it's all a part of one component. So essentially, if that's the case, so that's apparently what the Or Sameach is saying, that the whole Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur, even the Shabbos part, even the Shvisa Mimalacha, is characterized by the Shvisa from Achila as well. Kiddush is inherently incompatible with it, and therefore, at least the food-based Kiddush is inherently incompatible with it, and therefore, even when it's on Shabbos, the Kedusha, the Shvisa of Yom Kippur informs the Shvisa of that Shabbos as well, of Shabbipur, and therefore there's no Kiddush from any angle. So that's how he wanted to explain how the Or Sameach's position plays out and why it's the dominant view. So it's interesting just to note, as he does, and it's kind of an epilogue. So apparently Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we see, doesn't agree with this. And so why doesn't Rabbi Akiva Eiger agree with this whole story? He wants to suggest that it should be Kiva Eger l'shitaso, that there's a tshuva should be Kiva Eger in Siman Tezvav. He has an interesting shaila, which was discussed also by the Marcheshes and by many others. It's a famous shaila. Now we know that on Yom Kippur afternoon, so we lane. So laning in the afternoon happens on two other occasions other than Yom Kippur. Right, normally we only lay in the morning, but there are two other times that we lay in the afternoon. What are those two times? Right, we've done them both already in the past week. Right, Mincha in two consecutive days. Right, Mincha on Shabbos and Mincha on a fast day. So, Frek to be Kiva Eger. When we lay on the afternoon of Yom Kippur, why do we lay? Do we lay because it's like Shabbos, Shabbos Shabbosim? So just like every Shabbos we lay in the afternoon, so Yom Kippur also we lay in the afternoon. And even though Yontif we don't, in this way Yom Kippur is closer to Shabbos than Yontif because it's Shabbos Shabbosom. Or is it because of a Tainus? So just like every Tainus we lay in the afternoon, normally it's Vayichal, okay, so Yom Kippur is not Vayichal. It's different, but it's still from the same idea. That was Rabbi Akiva Eiger's question. Now, the question is, what difference does it make? So who cares? Halacha l'maisa, call it one, call it the other. Does it matter? So can you think of a nafka mina la halacha? Well, so there, that's actually interesting. We know we have a haftarah. It's a question what bracha make in haftarah. So machlok shulchan aruch and the Ramah, the Macheshes talks about that. It's true, but you're right. So a normal Shabbos wouldn't have a haftarah. That itself is something. But we know that we do have a haftarah, and the bracha, the Macheshes thought was connected to that shaila. But assuming that we do have Haftarah, what else might be an Akamina?
If the reason is because it's a fast and it's Shabbos,
mm-hmm.
So then...
Well, okay, so
the other side of it, but if it's Shabbos and it's because it's a fast, then we shouldn't lane because of that.
Yeah, I'm not much of that on Bikkur. So the difference that Rebbe Eger wants to suggest, a little bit of a controversial difference, he suggests that if it's because of tainus, so then if you have somebody who's not fasting, let's say somebody's sick, so then he can't get an aliyah for this Kriya Satara. But if it's a Yantif, this is a Yom Kippur reading, okay, so then he could get an aliyah even if he's not fasting. So that was his basic premise as far as what difference it makes. Now, not everyone accepted that this should make a difference. The idea that, let's say I'm a regular tainus, let's say I'm Som Gedalia, somebody who's not fasting, should he not get an aliyah because he's not fasting? So many others, Chassam Sofer is a truth about this, the Bin Yitzin is a truth about this. Not everyone agreed with this premise that if you're not fasting, you're not relevant to the whole day. First of all, two major points. One is that even somebody who is eating because they're not well, but presumably their eating is still influenced by the fast. They still are affected by the fast. They're not going to have the whole party they otherwise would have. So they're not completely abstaining from food, but they're restrained in their eating. So that should also be considered influenced by the fast, part of the fast, and they should be able to get an aliyah for that reason. Or others point out that even if they are eating to their heart's content, by pashtus they're probably not eating right now, and they're not going to go up with a chocolate bar, hopefully. So you're fasting at this minute, even if they ate breakfast before and they're going to eat lunch after, all throughout the day, but they're fasting right now. There is actually, I saw a tshuva once, I think in a tshuva, Eben Pina talks about what happens if somebody is wearing leather shoes. I guess that theoretically it could be possible somebody could be violating the fast at the moment he's getting the aliyah. But for the most part, in terms of eating, he's presumably not eating at that moment. So not everyone accepted this premise. Zsolti has an essay where he talks about comparing it to Tisha B'Av. But maybe on Tisha B'Av could be more makel, because any fast or avana, so pashtus, that is, the way Chazal formulated it, that every minute of the day, you're not allowed to eat. So even if you're eating at other minutes of the day, but at the minutes that you're getting an aliyah, so you're not eating then, you're fasting just like everyone else is. But Yom Kippur, as a din Torah, maybe in addition to an iser to eat at any moment, there's also a concept of the whole fast day in its totality. So somebody who's eating a different part of the day maybe is missing something about the relationship to Yom Kippur overall, perhaps. But in any event, so this was Rebbe Eger's assumption. So his assumption seems to be working off the premise that the shvisa mimalacha and the shvisa from eating are two separate things. And therefore, even though this person is abstaining from malacha, but he is not involved in the shvisa from achila, so if the laning is connected to that, so then he can't get an aliyah. And it's noteworthy that he points out, I guess it's Lashitaso, that in the Maftechus, the Shuvah speaking to Eger, where he formulates things a little differently, he says, but Yom Kippur, that's on Shabbos, then he can for sure get an aliyah. Because the whole, if you get the Shabbos part of the aliyah. But Yom Kippur, the fasting part, he seems to see that as distinct. So as Rabbi Olshan points out, it's basically Kibega L'Shitaso, that he sees these parts as separate, and therefore it affects the Aliyah question and affects the Kiddush question, while we seem to follow the Or Sameach's attitude that it's a Shemipur, and they're all one idea, and maybe that would also affect the question of getting an Aliyah as well, even if you're not fasting. So I want to go back for a second to Shmuley's question from before. Right? So what about for all of us, the fact that there is a chiyuv achila on Shabbos, so how does that manifest itself, or it shouldn't have any room? So you could have said that this could have been relevant even to a non-chola. And this was a question that was very theoretically asked by Joseph Engel. Joseph Engel in his Yom HaTorah quotes it from the earlier sources, from the Tzemach Tzedek. This is a shaila, some of the earlier Sfarim asked, that why don't you say the following? And this is really a theoretical question because it bases itself on a position that we don't follow anyway. But still, let's consider what the question is. We know, as we mentioned before, we have a concept of shiur. that in order to be considered really in violation of the fast in the full sense, one has to eat a kosamis on Yom Kippur. So what happens if you have less than a shear? Let's say somebody decides in Yom Kippur is not a chola, somebody decides he wants to have a Hershey's Kiss. Right, a little small piece of food. So is that mutter min haTorah? Is that mutter at all? It's less than a kosevis. So that's called chatzi shir. So less than a shir is called chatzi shir, which doesn't mean half, it means any part of the shir. So that, we all agree, is prohibited. You're not allowed to eat any amount in a kippur unless you have a medical need, even if it's a small amount. And it's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether that's deraisa or derabanan. So Rish Lakish's view is it's an issa derabanan. And we pass from Rav like Rav Yochanan that it's also min haTorah. But within the unaccepted view of Rish Lakish, that it's also min derabanan, so some machronim ask the following question. So if it's really true that Chatzi Shir is only an issa derabanan, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, why don't we recommend the following? Why don't we say that everyone, healthy people as well, should make kiddush on Yom Kippur and eat a kezayis, right? Because they have a chiyuv to eat on Shabbos, and eating a kezayis, which is less than a kosevis, would only be an issur rabban. So presumably the chiyuv to eat on Shabbos would outweigh the issur of chatzi shir, at least according to Rish Lakish. Follow the question?
Yeah. Why do we say that it would be still outweigh it?
Sorry?
Why do we say that eating on Shabbos would outweigh it?
Because if we assume there's only Mr. Drabanan to eat that much on Yom Kippur, so eating on Shabbos probably is maybe a deraisa, that's how some of the Rishonim say it, or at least we did Rei Kabbalah. We spoke about this a little bit on Sunday, that it could be the chiyuv deraisa to eat a meal on Shabbos, but at least it's a chiyuv we did Rei Kabbalah because it's mentioned in the Levine. Now it's ironic because the source of the Nevi'im, Pasuk in Yeshaya, is the Rosh Hashanah Shabbos Oneg. So the one time we read that as a Haftorah on Shabbos is the one time we're not eating on Shabbos, because it's the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, so we'll read that Haftorah of the Shabbos, and it's a little bit taunting us because that's the source for the Chiyuv to eat on Shabbos, and we read it on the Shabbos when we're not eating. We read it on Yom Kippur. But so at least it seems like it's a Chiyuv Midivrei Kabbalah. So then the question is, so why don't we say that whether it's deraisa, midivrei kabbalah, it sounds like it's more than an issa derabanan, so, or it should outweigh an issa derabanan, so let's all make kiddush on Yom Kippur and have, so we have a very popular suggestion to try to spread this idea, right, that we should have a kiddush for some kippur and do it like, I think I mentioned the other day, this in Karen Biavin, this on Rosh Hashanah, right, they still do this, they have kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, they want to try to balance having not having a fast on Rosh Hashanah, so making sure to eat something, but not, not eating too much before Tekiah, so they measure out very precise portions of cake for everyone, exactly in the middle. So you should do the same thing on Yom Kippur. We'll have very precise pieces of bread that will be very small, specially made rolls that will be exactly a kedayah, so you'll have a keem suda without having the kosedas on Yom Kippur. Sure, it would be a very popular suggestion. So, why don't we do that? So again, you don't even pass him like Rish Lakish, so the whole question is a hard time getting off the ground. But at least, why didn't Rish Lakish in his shul, why didn't he do this? We have no historical record that he did this, so why not? Why doesn't he assume that this should be the case? So, one approach is to say, like the Arsameach, right, to say that Shavipur, there's no concept of Kiddush, and the whole thing doesn't even apply. However, you could say a different approach also by Shlomo Wurman Zechatzadik Lebracha in his Sefer Sheres Yosef. I assume this was also reprinted in his Sefer Oris Meherachanim, all wonderful svarim that are now available for free on HebrewBooks.org. When I was your age, this was a precious commodity you could get unless you were very lucky. Now you can read it online. But in the Sefer Sheres Yosef, so Rabbi Wurman suggests that he thinks that this is an example of an idea that we find elsewhere in Halacha, which is also relevant to other inyanim of Yoma. And that the Gemara talks about the Masechet Sukkah on Daf Zayin, that we have a concept of Mechitza by Shabbos and a concept of Mechitza by Sukkah. They have a wall for a Sukkah and a wall for an Eruv on Shabbos. So the measurements are different. The requirements are different. But says the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Zayin that during the week of Sukkot, the Sukkah standard becomes acceptable on Shabbos as well. Here's a little synergy. It uses our favorite word, migo, to have you dolphin, lean sukkah, have you dolphin, lean Shabbos. So just a little synergy with the word migo, that since it's considered to be a wall, halachically, for a sukkah, so it's considered to be a wall for Shabbos purposes as well. So we can essentially extend full faith and credit, as they say, that if one area of halacha recognizes something is valid, then another area of halacha that's acting simultaneously is also going to recognize it. So, Sajjah Warman thinks that this is a shot as well, that when it comes to Yom Kippur, it doesn't make sense to say that we're going to play this game and we'll say, okay, I'm going to eat, and it's going to be a meal as far as Shabbos is concerned, but it's not going to be a meal as far as Yom Kippur is concerned. But in the Hanami, if you were going to have a random kezias of food on Yom Kippur, so it would be less than a shir. But if you're going to have a kezias with the intention that it should be Suda Shabbos, and say that I can kind of play this game, that it's a meal for Shabbos, but it's not a meal for Yom Kippur, that's presumably not going to work. Essentially, it's like your achshade, as we find elsewhere in Halacha. It's like you give it significance with your intent, and therefore that makes it into a violation of Yom Kippur as well. This whole shaila about Shabbos and the like, it's also relevant because there are those who asked, which is an interesting question too, that maybe if you want to somehow be Yotzei Suda Shabbos and not violate Yom Kippur this coming Shabbos, maybe we have another suggestion for you. Why don't you do this? Why don't you Friday afternoon, right, before you finish your Yom Kippur Suda, why don't you be Makabel Shabbos without being Makabel Yom Kippur? So you bring in Shabbos early, bring in Shabbos an hour early, have a Suda, and then be Makabel Yom Kippur. So you'll have a Shabbos Suda, and you won't be in violation of Yom Kippur. So that's assuming that you could really split these kedushas, and that you could say that I could bring in one without the other, which is probably not the case for any number of reasons. And especially if you follow a Shabbipur type idea, then for sure it doesn't make sense to say that you could split the kedushas and bring in one without the other. It would be very hard to say. Parenthetically, it's a machlokus in general whether you can be Yotzei Suda Shabbos during the time of Tosefes. It seems like for the most part we're mikvah in this. That's really the motivation why it's summertime, so many shuls bring in Shabbos so early so that they can have their suda during that time. So it seems like the attitude is to mikvah in this, but that was also machlokas. But it's interesting, that could also be relevant to this question as well. So there are many issues that are relevant to the whole question of Shabbos interacting with Yom Kippur. If you saw Mar Komus, you saw some others. For example, the question of Avinu Malkeinu. Right? So we don't recite Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos, that is Yom Kippur, except at the end in the Sigma Din. Different explanations why that is. Some understand it's considered to be like Bakashas Tzrachim, like the Mishnah Berurah says on Shabbos. Others understand that this is the Heker, that there's a difference, that it actually is Shabbos, so we do something a little bit differently. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says that even though on Shabbos we're allowing other bakashas to enter our tefillah, he says that's got to be within the structure of Shemona Esrei itself, and that Avinu Malkeinu that's outside of that structure, so then that's a problem to have that on Shabbos. So again, the Maran Makomos, a few other issues talk about the practice of lighting candles, the whole discussion in Gemara about whether or not there's any of lighting candles on the eve of Yom Kippur or Erev Yom Kippur, but when it's Shabbos, and we do light candles, but that itself is a whole discussion. Is lighting candles in general something that we do for the meal? Is it Midin Oneg Shabbos, Midin Kavod? It's what to discuss about whether Yom Kippur has a din of Oneg at all. Many assume that the concept of Oneg and Kavod that are both from this pasuk that we mentioned that we'll read in the Haftorah. So the question, if we normally understand oneg to mean eating on Shabbos, so the Vilna Gaon has a distinction which is often quoted, not everyone accepts this, but the Vilna Gaon understands that kavod is what you do before Shabbos, and oneg is what you do on Shabbos. So the meal is the oneg. So is there any room for oneg on Yom Kippur? So that was the machlokes. Many thought that not, that it was just a day of kavod. Some say, therefore, you have to ramp up the kavod, especially nice clothes and the like, especially nice sneakers, I guess, because it is kavod only, you don't have oneg. And others thought not that way. There is a fascinating tshuva, the tshuva's Maharshag. The Maharshag was a Talmud of the Maharshik. He was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. The Maharshag was a grand Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So here's a tshuva where he suggests that there is a concept of oneg on Yom Kippur. So he says if anybody were to go beyond the Yinuyim, that we have the Yinuyim that are spelled out, but if anybody's going to make himself uncomfortable beyond what the Yinuyim actually command, so then that would be a violation of oneg on Yom Kippur, which is a fascinating idea. But again, maybe that also connects to this whole notion of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, the idea that while we have our certain delimited areas where the Yinuyim apply, but we're not supposed to go beyond that. And maybe Adarava, we should make sure that it's not too unpleasant, because maybe essentially the concept of oneg or simcha might be more appropriate for Yantiv, maybe does apply, and therefore we have to be careful to preserve that at the same time as respecting the limits of the Yinuyim. A couple other differences that you normally have to have a Ner Shabbos, you have to have Avdallah has to be recited on a little candle that was lit from before Yom Kippur. Many posts can hold that slowly kuva, that if you don't have such a candle, then you shouldn't make that bracha of Ereish at all. But the post can write that on Shabbos, there's the additional reason for the candle of Havdalah, that it's because of the fire that was created most in Shabbos, so therefore, even though with Hashila, it would be better to have a candle from before, but mostly Shabbos and Kippur, you could use a new candle as well. And a few other differences, but those are some of the major ones. And this whole discussion in terms of what it reflects about the nature of Yom Kippur is an important one. So just to quickly review what we spoke about, that we saw that there is a whole discussion about eating on Erev Yom Kippur. We saw different reasons as to what that represents. Is it a hachana for the tainis, or is it a sudas yatif? And in most permutations, even on both sides, it seems like it is a reflection of the fact that Yom Kippur is a day of fasting, but it's not a day of sadness, and that should be acknowledged through either a suda or a eating that makes the fast more bearable, and in that sense it's contrasted with Tisha B'Av. We spoke a little bit about how that may affect questions like, should you eat bread on Erev Tisha B'Av, on Erev Yom Kippur, should you have a formal meal, should it apply the night before, etc., etc., but again, the main point would seem to be this. And then we discussed the question of Chola making Kiddush. So we saw that Cotton, we mentioned the Avinezer's point about Chinuch, that doesn't seem to be relevant for a child to learn how to make Kiddush for Yom Kippur, but for an adult Chola, so then there's what to talk about, and the Shulchan Aruch says you should say Alviyavo, but the Mogen Avraham says no Kiddush, and Rabbi Kiva Eger says that's only true on a normal Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur, that's Shabbos, we do make Kiddush, but that's not our minig. Yer Sumeach Torah says that there's Shabbipur, there's no Chiyuv Kiddush. We discussed, so Rav Olshan discusses that you have to figure out what does Kedusha Yom Kippur have to do with the Isser Tainis that's going to characterize Shabbos as well. It's also a question if you ask on Tostus, why Tostus says, Megumara says, Ein Vein Yom Kippur L'Tisha B'Av, why doesn't it mention Yisr Malacha, or it's an irrelevant point. So he notes that you see the language of Shvisa and the Rambam and others, that apparently the fast of Yom Kippur and the Yisr Malacha are all one concept. They're all about minimizing distractions, taking away the Gashmias, making us more angelic, but not days of sadness, and therefore you could see why it would all be considered one package in the Or Sameach's formulation. The Rabbi Kiva Eger had this question about waning in the afternoon on Yom Kippur, and he thought that a chol that might be excluded from that if it's about the tainus. Well, you could have thought that maybe even so, maybe the shvisa and melacha, shvisa from eating, are all the same thing, and therefore we wouldn't necessarily have to exclude this chol. And then we'll talk a little bit also about even without a chol, so why don't we say everyone should make Kiddush and Kippur, at least according to Reish Lakish, should have a smaller amount, have a less than a shear, but it will be enough to pursue the Shabbos. So we discussed there are some ample answers to that also. Or you could say that, like Rav Orman says, that if it's going to be considered a Suda for Shabbos, it'll be considered a Suda for Yom Kippur as well. We talked also about the Shabbos and asked why you bring in Shabbos early, have a Suda then, and then bring in Yom Kippur afterwards. We discussed whether that's possible or whether it would make a difference, whether it would accomplish this or not. And then we made some brief reference to some of the other Shabbos, the Shaila of Vino Malkenu, and the Shaila of Havdalah, and whether there is Oneg on Yom Kippur at all, and how that manifests itself. And again, the idea of the Neros. So the Neros, it's a whole discussion, whether there needs to be Neros for Yom Kippur, or especially Yom Kippur, Shkalios, B'Shabbos, everyone agrees there should be Neros, so the question could be asked, if you're not going to have a meal, so is there really a need for Neros? So it's important to mention that the Gemara in Shabbos also says that Neros Shabbos is there for Shalom Bayis, and it seems to be the idea that we shouldn't have reasons to be angry at each other, we shouldn't be tripping over each other in the dark and cursing each other out because you can't see anything. So Yom Kippur Shalom is especially important. You know that that's what we discussed a few weeks ago with the idea of Mafila, that we have to make sure we're in a state of Shalom with each other so that Yom Kippur can be fully effective. So from that perspective, if the Ner contributes to Shalom Bayis, if the Ner contributes to a sense of peace, so then that's especially relevant to Kippur, and it should be our bracha that we should all have a peaceful, in every sense of the word, effective shalom between the nations, shalom between individuals, shalom between us and God. It should be a day of shlemus and shalom, a day of completeness, a day in which we achieve everything that